So every decision we make in life is geared toward our happiness, right? I mean, most people that I know of, you know, as long as you're well, do not strive to make decisions that'll make them miserable. I mean, right, whether it's concerning what school you go to, or what career path we choose, what person we marry, all these choices are geared toward whether or not they will make us happy. You see, we as human beings have that innate desire for happiness. It's built into us. We desire to be satisfied. Yet, it seems, as we go through life, we experience some happiness here and there at different moments, but each time, we always long for more. That happiness we experience seems to only last for a time. It seems that we are never completely satisfied for as long at any given time. Now, this unanswered desire for satisfaction has intrigued both religious and secular people down through the ages. You know, from St. Augustine to the modern band U2 with their song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." Yet, I believe St. Augustine was correct when in his autobiography of his conversion to the Catholic faith, he wrote, quote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." In other words, that seemingly unquenchable desire that man has to be satisfied cannot be completely satisfied with what meets the eye. Career achievements, money, our bodily figure and looks, and even our worldly relationships. But man can only be satisfied in having an authentic friendship with our Lord. So the three parables we heard this morning in the Gospel are speaking of the kingdom of God manifested on earth, which is the church. And this is a continuation from last week's Gospel. So the first parable speaks about how the kingdom of God is not at first obvious. The parable describes it as a treasure that's buried in a field. In a way, it's almost easy to miss. You have to go searching for it to find it. For example, you know, many people hear all about the church on TV or hear about Christ in movies, yet never take the time to see what the life of a Catholic actually looks like. Right? They drive by churches every day, but they never take the time to seek our Lord where he can be found. The second parable, the parable of the pearl of great price, one of the famous parables of the Gospels. Our Lord speaks about this, and it's similar to the first parable. Again, the kingdom is not obvious. There seem to be competitors, other pearls that the merchant has come across before finding that true pearl. In a way, it takes some discernment, some wisdom, like Solomon's in the first reading, to find the true pearl of great price. In other words, we have to seek after the truth. As we know in this life, there are many things that vie for our happiness and fulfillment. Other religions, our careers, our physical fitness, money, sex, drugs, you name it. Yet all these fall short the pearl of great price, being a member of the family of God, the Catholic Church. Finally, the last parable in the Gospel is reminiscent of the parable we heard last week, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Yet, this parable, describing the kingdom of heaven as a fishnet full of fish, is one of the most important, I think, for us Catholics to understand. It tells us that the kingdom of heaven on earth, the church, is going to be a mixed bag, per se. Like the net thrown into the sea that catches fish of many kinds, so the church is like a net thrown by the apostles and their successors, the bishops. This net brings many, both saints and sinners, into God's kingdom. Here again, our Lord was teaching his disciples that unfortunately, not everyone in his church would be saints. Yet we would all be held accountable for our actions at the end of our lives. And our Lord speaks about this several times in the Gospels. He's hitting this point home. We cannot leave the church because of a Judas. Now, if we look at these three parables as a whole, we see our Lord teaching his apostles about the nature of the church, that she, the church, is holy, even though she's comprised of imperfect people. In other words, the church is holy because she's God's kingdom. He reigns in her and through her. After all, I mean, he founded the church. Therefore, he's always present in her. But at times, I think standing from the outside, it is hard to always see our Lord's presence in the church, well, because of all the imperfections of her members. Right? Members who we think would be striving to be close with God and follow his commands. I want to tell you a brief story about St. Padre Pio. So Padre Pio was a Franciscan friar who lived in the last century and was known for the miracles that occurred around him. He was known to read souls during confessions. If he thought you weren't sorrowful, he'd send you away. He was known for the five wounds of Christ that appeared on his body and bled profusely. And he was known for bilocation. He'd be seen in two different places at the same time. And this isn't some fable from the medieval ages. You can Google him. You can see videos of him. You see images of him with the stigmata, the five wounds of Christ. People flocked to him from all over. Even Pope St. John Paul II, before he was Pope, would write to Padre Pio when a friend of his was sick and needed healing. Yet during Padre Pio's life, the church did not initially respond to him well. He was forbidden to show the wounds, to talk about them. His spiritual director, the closest priest he had, was replaced, and all correspondence with him was suspended. He was prohibited from responding to any letter or giving counsel to anyone, and his superiors were ordered to remove him from his monastery. He was not allowed to talk to anyone. In 1931, he was even forbidden to celebrate Mass in public. He was not allowed to hear confessions. False accusations were being thrown at him left and right. Yet the reaction of Padre Pio upon learning of each prohibition was to raise his eyes to heaven and to abandon himself to the will of God. He accepted everything with humility and resignation, although he knew that these sanctions were unjust. People judged him harshly. It wasn't until the 1960s that Pope Paul VI dismissed all accusations against him. Now, fast forward to today, he is one of the most famous saints of our modern times. He could have grown bitter at the time by how the church herself was treating him, but he did not. He accepted the suffering from God and remained faithful in the church nonetheless, for he had found the pearl of great price. Now, there's a common theme in each one of the parables we heard today: satisfaction. Christ was trying to teach us that a life lived for him in the church is a life of satisfaction. For once we've built a friendship with Christ that is more than superficial knowledge of him, or what we heard about him from movies or books or friends, or what we heard about him as children, a friendship that is more than simply going through the motions of Mass. For when we actually come to encounter Christ in his church, we realize we can never actually leave the church. Our relationship with him is like a buried treasure that we can never give up, despite whatever cost there is. With an authentic friendship with Christ, we realize we have found the pearl of great price, that there is no need to search anywhere else. I guess to reword U2's song, we have found what we are looking for. Why? Well, because to reiterate St. Augustine, our Lord has made us for himself. Therefore, only when we strive to encounter him in his church and his sacraments will we be satisfied the way we can be in this life, until we're perfectly satisfied with him in heaven. Now, this, of course, does not mean we're not going to experience suffering in this life. I mean, of course we will. Again, look at St. Padre Pio. He was persecuted by the church herself. Christ experienced suffering. Our Lady experienced suffering. We will all have to suffer to some degree or another in this life. Nor does that mean we will not desire to be free of that suffering. I mean, of course we will. We're human. Nor does that mean that living the Christian life will always be easy. Of course it won't. In fact, often it's not. But when our Catholic faith is a non-negotiable in our life, we realize that despite the imperfections of the world, the church, and ourselves, we know we are at home now, until we can be with our Lord forever in heaven. To live without God is to live without purpose. Right? You have to make up your purpose. If you live without God, you'll only be living for the weekend or the next pleasure or when there is no stress or for retirement. But a life with Christ is a purpose-driven life. It's what gets us through the tough times of life, the monotony, the heartaches, the insecurities, the deaths, the pains. For we know we can rely on our God to give us strength and hope through them. Living a life with him is finding the buried treasure in the field. We do not need to search any farther. If we put our Lord first in our lives, through the sacraments and prayer, we will grow closer to him each day. It's almost that simple. We can seek his mercy when we fail him in ourselves. We can grow in trust of him that he will satisfy all our longings in heaven because he loves us, he knows us, he cares about us. You know, time and time again, as a Catholic priest, I love when someone comes back to confession for the first time in decades. They often leave the confessional crying, not because of sadness, but of peace and joy, for they have found the pearl of great price. And so we must ask ourselves, do we treat our life with Christ and membership in his church as the pearl of great price, as the buried treasure in the field? Or do we simply take it for granted each day, perhaps forgetting about our Lord at times during the week because we're so busy with life? Every so often, we need to renew our outlook, our relationship with God. Where are we going? If we truly appreciate life in the kingdom of heaven on earth, then our actions and our words will show it. Yes, we're still going to have setbacks and bad days in life. People will still hurt us, disappoint us. But overall, through the witness of our sacramental lives, people will see that we're striving to grow in relationship with God. They will see that, despite the sufferings of life, we still have purpose, and that our eyes are set toward heaven. They will see a witness of holiness. Ultimately, they will see that we have found what we are looking for. Amen.